Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Welcome to Woman to Woman. You have Coach D.
Hi, and you have Minister LaDawn here with you. Good evening, and like Coach D said, welcome to Woman. We are more than excited to be back with you this evening. It seems like forever since we have been, you know, live. And so, again, we are excited to be live again. We hope that you guys enjoyed your holidays. You were able to enjoy time with family and with friends, and that you are still expecting to take these tools that you're learning here with us. But we started, again, we started in the month of May, and we have all of these tools that we're giving to you, and we hope that you're still expecting to take these tools and get to the next level. And that's what tonight's show is all about. Right, Coach D?
That's what it's all about. Yes, indeed.
Well, how have you been? It seems like forever since even you and I have connected. How have you been?
You know, I tell you, it does. It seems a little strange because it seems like we've been away. We haven't really been away that long. But it just goes to show when you build a habit of something, and weekly on Tuesdays we bring you topics and information every Tuesday, and we've missed, I think, two Tuesdays. And it just seems like we've been away forever. I'm doing great. I am processing through life situations and circumstances, and I'm learning how to dress according to the season.
Oh, amen, amen. You know, I love that you said that you are learning how to process through certain situations and certain circumstances, because, again, that's what tonight's show is all about. I think we're I know I'm right there with you, and so I think that maybe some of our listeners will be right here with you and I, and that tonight's show is going to help put some things into perspective, help get rid of some things, help put some things in place, and, again, help us move to that next level. I know we were talking about taking control back, going back to the basics, going back to the beginning, and really begin to deal with the truth of our who we are, the truth of our circumstances, the truth of our life choices. And once we begin to deal with those truths, then we can begin to move on and really, really master the little imps in life that are coming up and now poking their heads out and trying to divert our attention so that we don't go to the next level. I really think that since we started our series, there's been so many, like I said, useful tools that we've brought to the program that has helped people to put certain things in place. I really think because we are beginning to be so much more focused that there's little things that will come up and try and steer that focus away from us, so that we can stay at the same level, so that we don't move forward, so that we can continue to complain about the things that are going on or, you know, bemoan our situation rather than us moving forward. So, again, hopefully tonight's show is going to help us kick some things in the butt. Amen.
Yes, indeed. It's a perfect topic because I tell you, it's really just a perfect topic because there's that the show name being facing the you in you, the you in you. And we heard that saying that says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that keeps us from greatness, those little things we don't want to deal with. Why? You know, we don't ask questions because we really don't want to know the answers. Because in order to know the answers, we have to now make decisions. So a lot of times we'll go through life and we won't ask questions. Like somebody could go through life and their thing could be anger. And they don't want to ask, why am I so angry? What happened? What is it that I'm not dealing with that's causing me to be so angry? Because if I ask that question, then I'm going to start getting answers. And then once I start getting those answers, I'm going to have to make a choice. Do I want to continue to be angry, or do I not want to continue to be angry? And sometimes you've been living with a situation, you've been living with that you and you for so long that you really don't want to part with it. Because why? Because it's become comfortable. It's become a crutch. And it's what you're used to. It's familiar. And we're afraid of the unfamiliar. We're afraid of not knowing. Fear, you know, our fear is false evidence appearing real. We're afraid to know. So I don't want to know why I'm angry, because in order for me to know why I'm angry, then What will that look like? If I've been spending the first 30 years of my life angry, what would that look like for the rest of my life if I wasn't angry? It's unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and you talked about being fear is false evidence appearing real, and fear is a mind killer. Fear kills dreams. Fear kills goals. Fear kills it kills life, because your dreams, your goals, your hope, that's the life that's inside of you that's trying to get out of you. And we let our fears stop us instead of addressing our fears, and we begin to die right there where we are. We begin to shut down, and we begin to die where we are because of those fears taking a hold and being in control. And so we do have to make sure that we are addressing those fears that are inside of us. And because you brought up fear, I'm going to bring out one of the scriptures that we have for tonight's show, which is 2 Corinthians 13:5. And it talks about examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Now, as we open up and as we begin, because I know we have people who are believers and sojourners in the faith, and I know we probably have people who are still wondering or on the edge, but I do definitely want you to know that we have scriptures that are set up for tonight, and if you open your Bibles, if you record these scriptures and you open your Bibles, these scriptures are really going to bring relevance and bring life to what we're talking about here on tonight's show, and it's going to really make a difference in your life if you allow it to make a difference in your life. And when I'm talking about, when I open up the scripture and we're talking about examining yourself, we're talking about examining those fears that are inside of you, examining what's going on inside of you, because tonight we're talking about facing the you that's in you. Why am I not meeting, walking in purpose? Why am I not getting to my goals? I keep on starting. I keep on beginning. I keep on putting things in place. I keep on saying, I want to do this. I'm going to do that. And yet somehow I never quite get to the point of completion. I never quite get to the point of finishing, or I never quite get to the point of stepping up and living out the true character, my true self in certain situations. You might be in a situation where you're having a conversation with your boss. You can be having a conversation with your children. You can be having a conversation with your mate, but you stop yourself from saying what you really truly want to say. You hold back, and you find yourself holding back more and more and more. And that's why we're talking about examining yourself. The things that are holding us back is fear. The things that we need to examine are those little foxes that are in our mind that keep stopping us or standing in between us and completion, standing in between us and living out our ultimate fulfillment, our ultimate life, our ultimate purpose, standing in between us and moving to the next level. Those are fears. And when the word says, unless indeed you fail the test, you know, then Jesus Christ is not in you, what I believe that the word is saying, especially as it pertains to what we're talking about tonight, is if your fears are stopping you, then Jesus is not in those place of your fears. So what is living? Is it Jesus Christ that's living, or is it the fears that's living? And if you fail to meet the test, then that means Jesus Christ is not there. I'm not saying you don't believe in Jesus. What I'm saying is that you're not allowing the power of God, the Spirit of God, to come in and address those areas, address those fears, so that you don't have to let the fears overcome you. Because the Word of God says in 1 John 4:4, it says that because It says we're from God, and we have overcome them. And greater is Jesus Christ that is in us than the evil that is in the world. So greater is Jesus Christ that is in us than the fears that are surrounding us, that are trying to overtake us, that are trying to stop us, but somehow we keep letting those fears get in the way. Those fears stop you from saying what you really want to say when you need to say it. Those fears stop you from being your true self, because the words that are on the tip of your tongue that you want to say, that you're not saying, that's your truth. And yet you're holding it back. Why are you holding it back? Because you're afraid of how somebody's going to take it. You're afraid of how somebody's going to feel. But remember, if Jesus Christ is in us, and if Jesus Christ is greater, and we're practicing, because I'm going to take us somewhere else in a moment, but we're practicing his way, then when the words come up or when the situations come up and that spirit that's in us is trying to get us to do something, we don't have to let the fear stop us, because Jesus Christ is greater. So if we submit to Jesus being greater, then guess what? He can control the outcome of that situation. He can control what's going on. And before we move on, because I said I'm going to take us to something else, I'm going to take us to, it was Galatians. And I forgot to write down which Galatians it is, but give me a second. I'm going to bring it up, because I just was talking to you about making sure that when we allow Jesus Christ to live in us, we don't have to worry about holding back. We don't have to worry about those. But that's because we're practicing Jesus Christ's ways. And Galatians talks to us. I'm going to go to it right now. It seems like I'm jumping all over, but I'm going to wrap this together and bring this all around. But Galatians talks to us in 5:22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when we take that and we begin to consider that, when we're practicing Jesus's ways, when we're practicing the ways of God, then there's a fruit that should be showing. And the fruit is evident. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to tell anybody about it. You don't have to talk about it. Because when they see the fruit, when they touch the fruit, when they smell the fruit, and when they taste the fruit, it's going to be what it is. You don't have to tell somebody else, this is an apple, it tastes sweet, it tastes this way. You don't have to tell them that, because the fruit is evident. And why am I saying this? Because we just talked about when you allow fear to live in you and you allow fear to stop you from being all of who you are, what you're in essence doing is letting that fear stop you from being the ultimate you of who God created you to be. And when you are practicing the ways of God, you don't have to let fear stop you. You don't have to let fear stop you. You don't have to question yourself in situations. You don't have to question, well, you know what? Am I really saying the right thing? Am I saying it because I want to be right, or am I saying it because I want to prove myself to be so smart, or I want to prove myself to other people? Because when you begin to practice the ways of God, the fruit will start showing in your life, and when the fruit starts showing in your life, the fear will start going away. And I'm bringing that up in more than, it's not going to just show spiritually, but it's going to manifest itself physically too. And the thing that you have to do, the thing that we have to do, is we have to begin to start practicing that fruit with ourselves. We always want to show somebody else just how kind we are, just how forgiving we are, just how patient we are. But when it comes to us dealing with ourselves and showing those same that same kindness, giving those same allowances to ourselves, we don't usually do that, and that's how we end up in the situations that we get into. Now, I'm going to give us a couple examples, and then I'm going to move on. But a job, for instance, that you really don't want to be in, you're subjecting yourself to being there every single day. Why? Is it because of money? Is it because of obligation? Why is it? Because if you're true to your true self, would you really be there, or would you be somewhere else? So are you practicing patience with yourself? Are you practicing kindness, love, joy with yourself? Are you practicing truthfulness with yourself? A lot of times we try and turn a blind eye to the things that are going on inside of us, a blind eye to the things that we know we need to change, but we are never going to go to the next level, or we are never going to live up to our ultimate purpose if we don't start addressing the things that and facing the things that are within us, facing the fears, facing the challenges on. Because guess what? When you face them head on, they can no longer exist as a fear. And that's when the Word of God talks about in John 1 that we've overcome those things. You've overcome it. So it can no longer exist as a fear. And so you begin to get greater and greater and greater and greater as you begin to master your fears. That's why you're not living out the dreams that you want to live out. That's why you're not being successful as an entrepreneur. That's why you're not being successful on your job, because those fears are holding you back. And when those fears are holding you back, how can you begin to get greater? How can you begin to move to the next level? It's like a shackle that's around your ankle, and you keep on trying to move forward. You're never going to go forward until you take that shackle off of your ankle. Amen?
Amen. Woo. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Minister LaDon, I'm sitting up listening. For those who are listening in, I tell you, I'm listening because I need this show tonight. Because sometimes I think even when in leadership, when you are going and you're doing and you're walking in the path that's been ordered for you. And, you know, I think there's this misconception, and I think that's why so many people are hard on pastors and ministers and teachers and prophets and prophetess and evangelists and all these other titles that represent leadership. It's because some way the ordinary thinks that they've arrived. And the people know they haven't arrived. And of course, you got some that think, but they think that they've arrived. And they don't know and understand that for you to be able to minister or speak on what you're speaking on now, you're only speaking that through your own personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We can't teach from anywhere else. You can't teach unless you've been taught. And we're taught through our own personal life experiences. And so this message, I had no clue. We really didn't have a clue, audience, what the message is going to be. And a lot of times when we're doing woman to woman, we're really dependent on God, because it's not us. Woman to woman is not Minister LaDon's show. It's not Coach D's show. It's God's show. And we're really dependent on the Holy Spirit in the presence of God to direct us of what he wants for us to share.
Amen.
With his women, with his daughters. And I'm quiet, and I'm going to step back and let you finish, because this is ministering to me, because I'm going through a season right now. And I'm going to be transparent. I'm going through a season of like you said, just, you know, I'm at the brink of God's divine purpose. And anytime you say yes to following God, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. Don't think for one minute that the attacks are not going to come. But if you want to go blind to the fact that you're going to be attacked, or you think that you're that nothing can touch you, then you're for a rude awakening. You're going to be attacked, because everything the enemy is going to try to do is going to try to cause you to quit, to give up, to not move forward on what God called you. He'll start bringing your past to your present. You know, things you thought you were delivered from, things you thought you didn't move past, they don't even affect you anymore. All of a sudden, you're struggling in certain areas, and you're trying to understand why. But again, like Minister LaDonna is saying, we all know who we are. I know who I am, and I know those yous in me that I got to address, and I got to ask the questions, and I got to deal with. So I'm stepping back, teacher, and I'm giving my pen back out, because I know this is for me. It's not for anybody else.
Amen. You know, as we talked about, and I love that you brought up how we're so hard on teachers and pastors and preachers and leaders. And one of the things we talked about, fruit, a lot of times when we are trying to make that change or we're trying to get to the next level, a lot of times we think from one day to the next, we're just supposed to be there. From today is Saturday, tomorrow is Sunday, and I am here. But that is not so. It is not necessary. It is not. It's truly not so. When you look at fruit, fruit has to take time to grow. You plant the seed in the ground, began to grow first, and after the roots grow, it starts to bud out through the ground. Then after it buds out through the ground, you get the tree. Then you get the vines and the leaves, and then the fruit begins to grow. And so I'm saying this because it's going to take time. It's going to take time to get where you're supposed to go. But even through all of that time, first and foremost, stop beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up when you say, I'm going to start this process, and you have it going good for 5 days, and then you stop. And now you're beating yourself up, and then you don't begin again. I tell you this, if Tyler Perry, if Eric Thomas, if Oprah Winfrey would have beat themselves up and not just continued to keep on picking up or keep on going on, they never would have been where they are today. But I guarantee you this, they didn't get to where they are today in 2017. They didn't start in 2017. They didn't start in 2016. It took them years. It took them time to get where they are. And so I'm saying all of that to say it's going to take you time. Stop beating yourself up, because it's going to take you time. I know I started this this conversation off where we are now by talking about I was glad that Coach D brought up about how we attack pastors, or we're so hard on pastors. But the thing I wanted to bring out first and foremost is, again, it takes us time. And so the pastors are not celebrating that they've arrived. Like Coach D said, they're not celebrating that I just know it all and I got it all. They're celebrating the different levels of letting go of those fears and trusting in God. And they still have levels that they still have to get to. They still have levels that they have to go. If you look at anybody, we watch and we see people putting up pictures on social media, and, you know, we watch how people are, and it looks like they just have all these great lives and everything just looks so good. Let me tell you one thing. If you really, really, truly look at them, and if we begin to really be honest with ourselves, those people know, and you know, even about yourself, we don't just have it going on just because we just have it going on, just because we just all that. They don't have it going on just because they all that. Oprah will tell you quicker than a dime. She don't have it going on just because she all that. When you're looking at people, people have been through some stuff. People have been through some things, and that's the celebration. The level, the next level of the things that you can't get to the next level. I'm going to tell you over and over again, you can't get to that next level until you start dealing with the things that you have on this level, until you start dealing with those issues, those challenges that you have on this level, until you start facing those fears. If you're messy, stop trying to pretend like you're not messy. And messy can mean messy drama-wise, that you messy, you run your mouth too much. Messy can mean you don't keep a clean home. But the more you try to hide stuff, the more you try and cover up stuff, instead of just dealing with stuff, you're going to stay right where you are. And every time you get up and every time you look around, you're going to hope, you're going to wish for something else, but you're going to remain right where you are until you start dealing with those things, until you start putting things in place, facing and addressing your fears, facing and addressing your challenges, facing and addressing those things that are holding you back. You want to address those things because, again, as you begin to address those things, that's when things will begin to change. That's when your mind will begin to change. That's when your habits will begin to change. But first you have to deal with the real you. If you know that you have issues when you go into relationships, stop blaming everybody else. Stop blaming everything else. Start looking at you. Because as you begin to look at you, remember what's going to happen. You're going to start enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to start enjoying some fruit. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit because, remember, as you face your fears and your fears begin to be eliminated, that's because you're letting the greater that's in you live instead of those greater that's in you. Remember, we talked about earlier, we are from God. So that greater that's in you is from and of God. And so you should begin, as you begin to face your fears, as you begin to get more word in you, as you begin to get more direction and guidance from God, you will begin to be able to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, we talked about that fruit. That fruit is joy, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. You'll begin to start enjoying those things about yourself. You'll begin to start operating in those things yourself. Because every morning you get up and you see a mess, you don't have to tackle the whole entire mess all at once. Tackle what you can. Give yourself credit for what you can. Because as you begin to look around, you're going to start seeing self-control. You're going to start seeing that you're now operating in self-control. You're going to start seeing that you're now operating in faithfulness. Because you're faithful to get up every morning and start doing what you know to do. Because you're not letting those imps hold you back anymore. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Awesome work.
I know I keep talking, and I have so much. I don't know if I brought out John 1:5, but I want to. The first thing I want to do is I want to tell you guys, give you guys the scripture, Psalms 51:6. And I don't know if I gave it to you guys earlier, but I'm going to give it to you again if I did. And it says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me, therefore, to know wisdom in my innermost heart." And so we're asking God help me to deal with the truth of myself. Help me to face the me in me. And you know how you can begin to realize what's in you, because God is going to show you. And the Word of God says, the words that come out of our mouth, I'm just generalizing because I have to remember which scripture, but basically the words that come out of our, we speak out of the abundance of our heart. So the words that are coming out and the deeds that we're doing, it's coming out from what's really inside us. It's the truth of what's inside of us. It's the abundance that's in our heart. It's more of what's in our heart, the most thing, the heaviest thing that weighs the most, the things that control everything in our heart. So our actions and our words, our attitudes, that's coming out of what's inside of you the most. And as you start realizing what's coming out, then that's how you start addressing those issues or those imps. If you see that you have a bad attitude, nobody else has to tell you you have a bad attitude. The fruit of the bad attitude is showing. Ask God to come into your heart and help you deal with those bad attitudes. Ask Him, Lord, I have some bad habits, and I need to break some bad habits. How do I break these bad habits? You know, I tell you, I've been a smoker on and off for years. And I would say, okay, I quit smoking. When in reality, I didn't quit smoking, I just stopped smoking. Because when you quit something, that means you no longer do it. But when you stop something, you can always start again. So I just stopped smoking. I would stop smoking for years, or I would stop smoking for months, or I would stop smoking for days or for weeks, until finally I said, you know what? And I've been going back and forth with God for a while, because, I didn't necessarily want to quit smoking just because I just wanted to quit smoking, because I enjoyed it. But I knew that I was supposed to be going to another level. And the next level that I want, that was in front of me, I couldn't smoke. I couldn't take bad habits with me. And so I had to make a choice of staying where I was, because I could have continued smoking. I enjoyed it. I could have stayed where I was smoking, or I could have went to the next level, which the next level was being more healthy and having more energy and more time for going where else God wanted me to go. So one day, I just said, I quit. And that's the day that I quit smoking. And there was a huge difference, and I understood the difference in me stopping a bad habit and me quitting in order to go to the next level. And I'm sharing this because I'm saying we all know we have some bad habits. We all know the you that's inside of us that is keeping us right here. We can play the blame game and point our finger at everybody else. Or we can begin to say, you know what? I want my joy. I want my self-control. I want my peace. I want my gentleness. I want my faithfulness. I want my patience. I want my love. And get to that next level. What do you want more? What are you going to let live inside of you more? It's totally up to you. I'm tired. I am tired with myself. I don't know how many of you else are out there are tired, too, of saying, I want to do this or I want to do that, or I'm tired of living this way or I'm tired of living that way. And turn around, the week go by, and you're still doing the same old thing. The only way that things are going to change is by you changing them. That means you have to do. Stop saying. Don't say another word to anybody else. Just do. And let me tell you this, especially women who are head of a household, if you expect for anybody to change around you, your children, your mate, if you're leading a household or you're holding a household down, that change is not going to happen if you don't begin to change yourself. It's not going to happen. Change first starts with you on the inside, not the outside. So stop running, getting your hair done, getting new clothes because you think it's going to make you feel better, buying stuff to put in your house that's not clean, paying for a car that you can't afford. Stop it. Change begins on the inside. You have to be willing to look in the mirror and love yourself in the selfies that you won't post online. You still have to think you're beautiful. You still have to think you're smart. You still have to think you're intelligent. You still have to think that you're capable of ruling the world. And unless you think those things about yourself, you need to begin to deal with those fears and those imps that are inside you. You need to start addressing those things. Amen?
Amen. Ooh, I don't know. Anybody else want to say ouch, hallelujah? I'm not going to get a pedicure tomorrow.
I tell you, God has been working with, he's just been working with me on some things, and, you know, sometimes it's a little scary. When we deal with the things that are inside of ourselves, sometimes it's a little bit scary because we don't want anybody else to know. And because we don't want anybody else to know, like you said, Coach B, sometimes we don't even want to know ourselves because then we have to do something with it. You
yeah,
have to then do something with that knowledge, you know?
You know, there's a scripture. You keep talking. I'm going to bring up the scripture because that definitely, and, you know, in this scripture, many people don't know this scripture, or they, you know, they don't know it or they skip over, I don't know what, but keep talking. I'm going to find it because I want to present it, because when people make a decision to get more knowledge, what they don't realize they're doing is that the more knowledge you got, the more accountability you have. Whether you want to accept it or not, God holds you accountable. And when he puts you in positions and places to get more knowledge, ooh, that's why people want to be unconscious. They don't even know. I'm going to find it to him.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, I love that you brought out accountability for one, because that's what we run from a lot of, is being accountable for the decisions we make, being accountable for who we are. And when you're accountable, a lot of times you have to show your vulnerability because you're dealing with the areas where you're weak in. And people think that vulnerability is a weakness, but vulnerability is actually a strength, because when you can be who you are and you can address and say, you know what, in that area I fell a little short, or I fall a little short, or I need to pick it up, or I need to address it, that's when you are most strong, because even the Word of God says, where we are weak, he is strong.
Ooh, now look, check this out. Because, and I had to bring this up because you've been speaking, and the biggest thing that you've been speaking and the biggest thing that I take away from tonight's message is people not wanting to deal with what you already know. You know what I'm saying? And you, and the more, and you find it, you get more knowledge. See, we learned, myself and Minister LaDon learned, you can get all the knowledge you want. That's great. But guess what? It's not conversion. Knowledge is only converted when you apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes wisdom. And so you got a lot of people walking around this world that got all the knowledge in the world, but it hasn't been converted. It's just knowledge. You got people that went to school for 4, 6 years, have bachelor's degrees, have master's degrees, but guess what? It's not converted. They still at home with mama. Are they working at McDonald's? And I'm not saying if you work at McDonald's, I'm not knocking that. I'm saying, but you don't go to school for 6 years to work at McDonald's unless you're going to be a regional manager or something. So the point I'm making here, before anybody says, I'll check her out, she's judging. No, the point I'm making is you don't have to go to school for 6 years and pay thousands and thousands of dollars in tuition to get a entry-level job. But you got people who went to school that's working entry-level jobs because they got all of this knowledge. They said knowledge is power. And I would like to say that I'm almost thinking that that might be the biggest trick of the enemy, because knowledge is nothing unless it's converted. And once it's converted,
Amen.
Then it becomes
Amen.
Wisdom. So knowledge applies. You got people that never went to school that are multimillionaires. Because why? They took the knowledge and they applied it. And it brought about wisdom. And so I'm saying this to say, because there's a scripture that tells us in James chapter 4, verse 17. And I'm saying this because it's saying that once we know something, we held accountable to do something with it. Our job is to convert. Not only to convert our knowledge to wisdom, but our job on this earth is to convert. We're supposed to convert souls. That's one of our jobs. One of our jobs is to go out and tell people about a living God. A living God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. So if you're sitting up at church in the pulpit, in the pews, if you're sitting up at work, if I'm sitting up in my house and I'm not converting souls, telling people about Jesus Christ that they'll have an opportunity to make a different decision, then guess what? I'm not converting. And I don't care what you do. You could take $10,000 to Europe, and that $10,000 don't mean nothing. It doesn't convert. If it's not euros, it don't convert. And you could take it to another country. It's nothing but paper unless it converts. And we haven't learned how to convert. We got all of this energy. We know it. Let me tell you something that might be able to relate to you. I'm walking around here and I'm fat. I got a little weight on me. That's energy that hasn't been converted. And it's not going to convert unless I get up and begin some type of exercise ritual that I'm going to be consistent with and do on a regular basis and eat properly. 80% eating, 20% exercise. If I'm not willing to convert this fat into energy so that I can begin to lose it, guess what? It's just stored up fat. And most of us are a little fat. Well, okay, I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself too. We fat little Christians that run into church every Sunday to get a good word to feel good, and we run out of church and we feeling good because it was a good word, it spoke to our emotions, and we run out of church and then we go on with life. But guess what? While you're trying to build your businesses, while you're trying to care for your families, while you're trying to find a mate and get married, while you're trying to serve on the usher board and all these other things, all of that is good. It's good. But is it converting? Because if it ain't converting, it's a wrap. So James tells us this. Therefore, to him who know to do good. So therefore, to him who know better, who has more information, who has more knowledge, who has all of this stuff, that knows the word of God, that's speaking the word of God, that's serving on the board of, quote, God, and does not do it, to him is sin. In other words, you could do all this stuff, but if you ain't doing
what God told you to do, if you're not taking this knowledge and applying it to get wisdom, hopefully I didn't lose y'all with that, but it says, James chapter 4, 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So every time you get information, every time you, and I hope I'm not keeping people from signing in and listening in to woman, but every time you sit up under a teaching, every time you get information, that information is not just supposed to sit on the inside of you. You're supposed to convert it. You're supposed to convert it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, and that's just so true. And even with, it speaks definitely to tonight's show, knowing what your issues are, knowing what your challenges are, and not dealing with them. So you have this information, you have tools that you can apply to those, and if you don't, it's sin, but the result is it's keeping you from where you're trying to go. It's keeping you tied to where you are, and you'll never get to the next level. So I hope that makes sense to everybody, is that, you know, you can – anything that keeps you, that stands in between you and where God has called you to be, anything that holds you back, that's sin. It manifests itself in different ways. It can manifest itself in sickness. I'm not telling you, oh, you're sick because you're living in sin. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm saying that sin can manifest itself in different ways. Sin can manifest itself as a dirty house, because that dirty house is keeping you from focusing on maybe going to school,
yeah,
or maybe addressing your children, being a better parent. It can manifest itself as a broke down car. Now you keep putting all your money into this broke down car, and now you don't have money to pay for this, and you're like, well, God, I keep asking you for money and I keep needing this, but every time you get money, it's going into that broke down car. It can manifest itself in so many different ways. And I'm saying all that to again say or tell you that have to begin to address those things that are inside of us. If you know you're not managing your money right, and you know you're supposed to be managing your money right, every month you in the red, or every month your account is overdrawn, there's things that you need to do. There's things that you need to take care of.
Yes.
It doesn't have to just be financial. It could be your relationship. You always seem to argue. You always seem to be upset. There's things that you need to take care of. It could be your parenting. It could be you as a dealing with your own parents. It could be on your job. But anything that is in between you and the ultimate you, which is who God created you to be, all of those things that are keeping you back, those are little foxes. Those foxes are little sins. Because anything that stands between you and where God, the will of God for you, that's a sin.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Powerful teaching, I tell you. It's nothing like, I don't care how much you study, I don't care how much you try to come up with an agenda, you know, and we know that because we do it weekly. I don't care. It's nothing like just allowing the Holy Spirit to give you exactly what you need to give to God. Who knows better than God what his people need, what his daughters need? And it's just something about when the Holy Spirit comes in and do some stuff that's healing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You can't study enough and prepare enough to have God's anointing, because it's, God's anointing is not, does not come with the study and the preparation. Even though I'm not taking nothing away from study and preparation, because the anointing of God could come. But what I'm saying is, when this is why you see, and I'm, those listening in, this is why you see people who you look at, you say, God, they're not educated. They didn't do this. They don't got this degree. You know, they don't have this, but they have an anointing. The favor of God will take us places that degrees, education, eloquent speech cannot take us ever.
Amen.
And I'm saying this because somebody needs to hear this, because somebody is not moving forward into their greatness because of the fact that they feel like they don't have this and they don't have that and they can't, you know, they don't, they use double negatives. And somebody told them they don't know how to. If I was to lay down and die for every time somebody told me that my grammar was incorrect, I would be nothing. If I was to lay down and die every time somebody told me that my speech, my grammar, my words, my pronunciations was terrible, I use double negatives. If I was to allow that to kill me. Now, I'm not saying we can't improve ourselves, not saying we can't be better people, but what I am so saying to you, Moses is out there, when God say go, go. Because Moses, God called Moses, and Moses was a stutterer. And he almost didn't go because he argued back about with God. I can't do that. And God sent him Aaron. See, God is going to give you exactly what you need to do what God's called you to do. And it ain't got nothing to do with your qualifications. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It has to do with what he's going to qualify you for. And I'm saying that because so many of us sit on the sideline. So many of us, we don't even want to get in the game. Because somebody told you when you were younger some words, and them words killed you. So you sitting on the sideline on the benches while everybody else is out there on the field playing the game of life, and you just letting life pass you by. You made a mistake. You got caught up on drugs. You had sex outside of marriage. You had babies outside of wedlock. You know, you was looking for love in all the wrong places, so you became promiscuous. And so you slept with this person and that person. But it's those things that have kept you from moving forward in life because of the shame. And the enemy is the author of shame. Because if he could get you so caught up and so discontent with what you've done, the shame of what you've done, you're not going to move forward. You're not going to never. I fight that because I'm harder on myself than I could ever be on anybody else, because I make mistakes and I do things and then I let those things beat me up. And if I'm not careful, those things will beat me up, and MCD Network won't exist. Those things will beat me up, and before I know it, I'm quitting. I'm laying down. But what? And I'm saying that to say that I'm saying that to say is check your own self so that you don't have to be checked. You know when you're out of order. You know when you're doing things that's out of order. You know when you're not in alignment. And when you know these things, check your own self so that nobody else have to check. Does nobody else have to sit you down and say, you know what, you're out of order, sit down. Check your own self. And when you know that you're out of control and you can't, and you know it's out of control, you know when you're out of control. And you know what you have to do to get back in control. And I say to you, get back into control. It's a choice. It's a choice. So that you don't have to be out of order. So that you don't have to be out there. You know, my biggest fear in life is this. And God has really been dealing with me with this a lot lately. I have some characteristics of Peter. And I have some characteristics of Moses. And the more I study the Word of God, I'm seeing these characteristics in it. Causes me to be weary because Moses led people to the promised land. He was a leader. But Moses had anger issues. And if anybody knows the story of Moses, Moses did, he led all these people to the promised land, and he never made it into the promised land because instead of him tapping the rock, he hit the rock because he was angry. And I feel like sometimes in my life I'm always hitting the rock. And my biggest prayer to God is, Lord, please don't allow me to be the one who have to lead people to the promised land and I can't enter myself. Check me. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the donkey that's been, you know, that could be used to bring people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to bring people into that knowledge, but I don't want to get left behind because of my own stuff, because I ain't correcting my own stuff. Because I ain't dealing with the use, because I'm not dealing with the use in me. And so saying that to say is that we know when we're out of order. We know when we're tilting, when we got the tilt going. And it's up to us to make quality choices that gets us back in alignment, back on track, so that we could be all that God's created us to be for his kingdom and for his glory. So I'm backing up, Minister LaDon. We towards the end of our show.
Amen. You know, can you still hear me?
I can.
Okay. Definitely want to make sure that if there's anyone who's in our listening audience and you have a question or you have a comment, I know we're at the end, but if you do have a question or comment, go ahead and press 1, and our team will know and bring you in to be able to join the conversation. And in the meantime, there's a couple of points that I want to leave you with. I love how Coach D said, you know, making better choices, because we definitely want to make sure that we're making better choices. I want you to understand, stop going around. I spoke this earlier. Stop going around and blaming things, because the only thing that blame does is backfire. That's the only thing that blame does. It backfires because it doesn't even affect the people that you're pointing it out, so then it affects you. I'll give you an example. Maybe you've been in a relationship that did not go well, and to this day, you're still blaming that person because that relationship did not go well. It could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be your uncle, your cousin, it could be your mate or a previous mate. But you're blaming that person because your relationship did not go well. Do you know how much of your life energy? And once you expend your life energy, you don't get that energy back. That energy is what creates your wealth. That energy is what creates your happiness. But you're spending so much of your life energy holding on to something that happened to you so long ago. And you're still holding on to it now. That blame is backfiring because it's not getting somebody out there. You know who it's getting? It's getting you. So we need to learn how to let stuff go. Stop holding on to so much stuff. Let some of it go. Some of it is not even worth holding on to. And you're still trying to hold on to it. Some of it is just rags and tags that you're still trying to hold on to. Got so many holes in it, it's falling so much apart, and you're still trying to hold the edges and the pieces together so you can hold it in your hand. Let it go. Like when you go through cleaning up. Oh, I could probably use this for something. No, throw it away. Because guess what? If you throw it away, you're going to get what you're supposed to have. But as long as you have something there that you're not supposed to have, you're never going to get what you're supposed to have. So start letting things go and throwing things away and stop blaming people because blame only backfires. I want you guys to remember these words, perseverance and resilience. Perseverance and resilience. You got to continue to bounce back. You got to continue to put one foot in front of the other, because as long as you get put one foot in front of the other, I guarantee you, you will not be in the same place that you were tomorrow. You won't be in the place that you are today. You won't be there tomorrow, unless you stay where you are, not putting one foot in front of the other. So you have to persevere and you have to be resilient, because you are going to get pushed down. You are going to get knocked around. Stand your ground. Bounce back up. Keep on going. Because things that are around you are going to change. They're going to begin to change, and you'll see the change. Another thing is break your bad habits. Break bad communication habits. Because communication is one of our key things that keep us from getting where we need to go. Either we're not communicating well to others, or we're allowing others not to communicate well to us. But in order to communicate better, to communicate through being a better listener and by beginning to understand people more, stop being so judgmental. I was looking at a picture today, and it was like a wedding ceremony. And when I looked at the picture, I was like, oh, wow, what do they have on? And God showed me in that moment. We're always so often and so quick to judge somebody else and judge what other people are going through. Stop being judgmental. Stop it, because you need to begin to understand people. Your happiness and somebody else's happiness may not look anything alike. And you tear down somebody else's happiness because it doesn't seem to resemble yours. Leave that person and their happiness to them. That's what they want. That's what they want to do. Stop being so judgmental. Start looking at you. We want to judge everybody. You know you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have treated me like this. And you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have said this. Start looking at ourselves and what we should have did or should not have said. And make sure that you begin to understand people, because the more you understand people, the less you will judge people. And the more you will act in the character of God. And operate in love. And that's all I have.
Woo! Yes.
Amen.
I tell you, woo! Powerful, powerful show on tonight. We thank each and every one of you for joining us on tonight. We are back. Yes, we did have a break, but we are back. We're looking forward. We're entering into the middle towards the end of July, and we are just back and ready to continue to bring great topics to women, by women, and let your friends and family know that we are back. If they are not aware that we're back, we are not going nowhere. We didn't die. We didn't give up. We didn't quit. We are back. We never left, actually, but we are back. Online, live shows, no pre-recorded, and we are ready to serve you in excellence and give you what you need. We're always taking inquiries. If you have a ministry, a business, a product that you would like to present, send us an email, and we are inbox us, and we will be more than glad to consider your story, to consider you as a guest on Woman to Woman. And again, if you have certain topics that you would like to see us discuss, you can also send us inboxes and emails to let us know what topics you feel like would be a good topic. So we're always taking suggestions, ideas, and look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Again, thank you for tuning in on tonight to this episode of Woman to Woman. We hope that you continue to tune in weekly on Tuesday nights for Woman to Woman at 7 p.m., as well as Processing the Pain on Thursday nights, also at 7 p.m. Again, we want you to know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and without you, there is no us as it pertains to Woman to Woman. Minister LaDon?
Oh, amen. And we look forward to having you join with us again next week. And make sure you guys are going back, and if you missed any of the series, especially the May series and everything we've done since May, I keep bringing up May is because we specifically and decidedly and pointedly pulled some things and some useful tools together. If you missed anything, though, between woman to woman and, of course, processing the pain, because you'll get the tools and you'll get the working it out in listening to processing the pain. So if you miss anything, you can always go online and catch what you missed so that you can catch up with us. But again, we thank you for tuning in and joining us each week, and we look forward to having you again next week.
Amen. Oh, my gosh. We love you all. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Woman to woman.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and